We praise him.
God and God alone, because of you, my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration on to you. You raise
I worship and adore you.
I worship and
Does anybody love the Lord?
Hallelujah.
Does anybody love the Lord? With all the things that are going on locally, regionally, and internationally, as was alluded to earlier, one's heart could faint because of fear. Yet the Bible says that God gives us a peace that passeth all understanding and a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. But we have been exhorted by Scripture to rejoice with those that rejoice and to weep with those that weep. Father, we come in your presence. We thank you for this day. We didn't deserve to be here, but we are here. Some of us may be broken, bruised, or even confused, but we are here. And we say thanks, because we know that in your presence, things happen. Burdens are lifted. Minds are regulated. People are changed in your presence. So we pray for those two men that were gunned down senselessly. Pray for the officers that were brutally killed in America. We pray for hurting people all over this world. And we thank you that there is still a balm in Gilead. Thank you for touching Gaston. Thank you for keeping your hand upon him. Now I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable to you. You are our God, and you are our Redeemer. Let the church say. Come on, let the church say. Before you take your seats, I want you to give God your best praise. Come on, open your mouth and bless the Lord, for he is good. Come on, give him praise, for he is worthy of all our praise. Now, on your way down to your seat, high five somebody. Tell them, my God is great. Amen. Good morning once again. This is Family Month, and we got quite to cover like last Sunday. Maybe not as much as last Sunday, but I have a whole lot of grounds to cover in a short time. And I don't want to be standing before you too long. just to remind you that we are celebrating this month, Family Month, under the theme, Keep Pushing to the Top. Somebody say, keep pushing to the top. I began something last Sunday, and I want to continue and probably conclude for today from the book of Philippians chapter 3. I want to read that in your hearing, and then I'll give you the topic that we want to zero in on today. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, I read from the Message translation of the Bible, Eugene Peterson. It begins like this. I want you to pay close attention to the word. And by the way, we normally stand for the reading, so let's not change that today. Would you stand in honor of God? This is the Apostle Paul speaking. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have made it, but I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal where God has beckoned us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. I want to lift up the theme today, going to the top. Our theme for hope is unstoppable. So as a remix, I want to use, and this is going to become the focus, nothing can stop me now. Turn to somebody and tell them, nothing can stop me now. If the devil had any sense, he would have killed me when he had a chance. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. On last Sunday, we witnessed the Apostle Paul on the roller coaster of life. And every single one of us here can relate to that roller coaster. Sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes in, sometimes out. And sometimes we don't even know whether we're in or out. The roller coaster of life. In fact, he writes about that and he says, but I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do the bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. We've all been there. We've always been there. Later on that morning, we discovered how to get off the roller coaster and finally live a victorious life, which requires us to, and this is just quick review. Number one, say this after me, follow after perfection. Number two, forget the past. I need you to say it with some kind of conviction. Number three, forge ahead. Number four, focus on growing. And finally, finish strong. Today I want to challenge us to reach for the top. Scripture says that we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are the lenders and not the borrowers. So I got a couple questions for us. Are you there yet? Have you realized what God says you are? Or are you still struggling at the bottom? God declares that we are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lenders and not the borrower. But the question is, have you realized that yet? Where are you in the journey? I got five things. We did some F's last week, and I just want, this is a talk, this is a conversation. I want to do some S's today. So I want you to write with me and walk with me. If you and I are going to reach the top and maintain the top, I just want to share five things that are necessary. I want you to stay close with me so we don't lose anybody. First of all, from this text, you may not see all of them, so I'll also incorporate other scriptures. But if you want to reach the top, and if you want to maintain the top, there are five things that I want to recommend for your consideration. Number one, somebody says, see. Come on, you're weak this morning. Somebody says, see. The first thing you got to do is see yourself on top. You got to see yourself on the top. Seeing here speaks of insight. It speaks of visualization. It speaks of perspective. It speaks of belief. We're not necessarily talking about your optic nerves, where you see physically. But even that will manifest itself if you learn how to see yourself on the top. So the truth of the matter is, it really doesn't matter how others see you, but how you see yourself. But I want to argue the point, though, that how you see yourself will determine to a great extent how others see you. Many of us, like Israel, have a grasshopper mentality. As much as God says we are the head and not the tail, most of us can only see ourselves as the tail. As much as God says we are the lenders and not the borrowers, most of us can only see ourselves borrowing. And so I want to challenge us this morning to see ourselves the way God sees us. For your inlook will affect your outlook, and your outlook will impact your outlook. In other words, if you don't see yourself the way God sees you, it's going to stagnate you and stifle you on this journey called life. Because there's always somebody who's going to try to demean you, because I found out in my short life that the only way some people can look good is to make you look bad. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? And so you've got to learn to develop a good spirit and a good attitude about who you are. And that comes from knowing God. Because the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Mahatma Gandhi, I quote him every now and then. This is a different quote. He talks about watching your belief, which is, for exercise today, seeing yourself. He says, watch your beliefs, because your beliefs become thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habit. Your habits become your values, and your values become your destiny. You got to watch what you believe. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Tell somebody, you got to see yourself on top. Now, as simple as that is, and I'm not going to expand more than that, it is critical that you learn to visualize, that you have insight, that you have foresight, that you see beyond who you are now, what you are now, where you are now, to where God has destined you to be. So even though you're walking down here, Scripture says we have been lifted up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So never see yourself as underneath, always see yourself as above. The second thing is, not only ought you to see yourself on top, but you got to learn how to speak. Somebody says, speak. Speak life. One thing that distinguishes us from other creatures is the ability to speak, to articulate, which enables us to create. Because the Bible says we are made in the image and the likeness of God. So we have the ability to speak life or death to our situation. Because the Scripture says life and death are in the power of the tongue. You can change your situation by speaking. It matters what you say. In fact, Scripture says you shall have what you say. That's how powerful it is. Call those things that be not as though they were, and they shall be. Scripture says you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. That's the creative power that we have. How many of you believe that, really? Lift your hand if you believe that. Because a whole lot of folks don't believe it. You can change your life. You can change your situation by learning how to speak. And nothing really happens until you speak. I want you to notice that God has given man delegated authority. Just look at Adam. Here's what God says. I'm going to bring all these animals to you, Adam, and whatever you call them, that's what they're going to be. How did God create the heaven and earth? He spoke. He commanded. We have the power to speak and to change our situations. I don't care if you are the only person in your family that has ever gone to school. You can be the only one that sets the pace for the rest to follow. But you got to speak it. And be careful how you speak, because you can speak yourself out of your dreams. And be careful who you speak to, because somebody can kill your dream. Let's review. If you're going to get to the top and maintain the top, you're going to, number one, have to see yourself on the top. Number two, you're going to have to learn how to speak life. Number three. Somebody say surround, as in surround a song. Surround yourself with positivity. Get some positive vibes. Scripture is clear that a man is known by the company he keeps. There was an eagle that thought he was a duckling. So he hung around little ducks, followed their patterns and did what they did, and realized that he didn't fit in. Later on, somebody came and told him, you realize that you're different from these ducklings? Is it possible that you are not a duckling? See, he didn't know how to fly. He didn't know how to fly high because he'd been hanging around with ducks who can just move a little. But when somebody told him that you may not be a duckling, he began to realize that I may not be a duckling. Maybe I'm an eagle. And the point that I'm trying to make here is that a lot of us are hanging around people who have short, negative, evil mentality that won't get them anywhere. And if you hang around long enough, you're going to song like them, talk like them, and you might even be them. You got to learn to select your group. Now, I'm talking to the graduates, and some of you are going on to another level. You're going to have to learn to choose your friends as opposed to your friends choosing you. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, if you want to go somewhere, then you got to get with people that are going somewhere. It just makes sense. If you hang around losers, if you surround yourself with losers, despite what God told you, you're going to start acting like a loser. And so when you feel like giving up, remember, others made it. And so can you, in fact, the Bible tells us that they are in the grandstands of heaven cheering you on. Let me read from the Bible what it actually says, the writer to the Hebrews. And I want to read it from the Message translation because it doesn't need any amplification from me. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. I want you to hear this. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who began and finished this race we are in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That accelerated and finished in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again and then do it item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will soon shoot some adrenaline into your souls. Just remember that somebody did it. So can you. Surround yourself with people that are going somewhere. Number four, I told you I'm not going to be before you too long. And I got to go carefully here because I want you to check this. The next step, if you are going to go to the top and maintain the top, is you're going to have to understand struggle. Somebody says struggle. Struggle. Don't despise a struggle. Now, this is not a contradiction to number four, but rather an enhanced perspective. You do need the haters as you struggle. As you move upward, you do need people who don't like you. Come on now, come on now. Why you don't hang out with them and stay with them and become them, you do need a few haters. Yeah. God has such a sense of humor because when he's about to elevate you and take you to the top, he's going to make sure he invites your enemies. In fact, no, he won't even invite them. He'll go where they are. He'll set up a party and a table right in the presence of your enemies and show off. This is the same guy you said couldn't make it. This is the same girl you said couldn't make it. I'm going to set her up in such a way that you can't miss it. Doesn't God have a sense of humor? You need the haters. Let me illustrate this further. The struggle an oyster goes through to create a pearl, maybe God's way to show us that hard or irritating events can reveal true beauty. It is as you are irritated. It is as you are persecuted. It is that you are criticized. It is that you face a hard place that really brings out what you're made up of. So don't despise the struggle, which is the process that God will take you to the top. Don't despise the value of struggle. Let me illustrate this because I want somebody to really get this. I don't have a $100 bill here. It may be in my somewhere. But just pretend that I have it in my hand. I got this $100 bill. I take it and I roll it up into a ball and I throw it. And I ask, would anybody like to have this $100 bill? I suspect that all of us would want to have this $100 bill, especially if you don't have to do nothing for it. I'm just going to give it to you. Before I rolled it up, I showed you that it's fresh, it's stiff, it's new, and it's authentic. And you said it's a $100 bill, it's worth $100. But then I roll it up in a ball and I throw it to you and I ask you, do you still want it? And you say yes, because it has not lost its value. So then I take it back from you, I roll it up again, and then I stamped on it and I do the mashed potato on it, and I ask you, do you still want this $100 bill? And you said, I don't care if you stamped on it. I don't care if you rolled it up, because it is still a $100 bill. It still has its value. So I said to you, I'm going to get some dirt now, and I'm going to rub it in the dirt, and you're going to see that it's defaced. But you recognize it is still a $100 bill, and regardless of how it looks, you still understand that it is a $100 bill. And I want to say this to somebody. Even if you have gotten dirty, even if you have gotten soiled, even if you've been bruised and confused as you journey through life on your way to the top, I want you to understand that God looks at you not as chump change, but God sees the value in you. There's a song that says, he sees the best in me when others see nothing but the worst. I want somebody to hear me. No matter what you have been through, God sees the best in you. You are valuable to God. I just want to inspire somebody to go to the top. And I'm just about there. Number five. So let's review. If you are going to go to the top and you're going to maintain the top, let's see if you remember. It's just been a few minutes. Number one, you got to see yourself on top. Now, as simple as that is, it's difficult for a lot of people, but you got to see yourself on top. Before those great plays are made in baseball, basketball, or whatever sports, these people have visualized themselves making the big play. You got to learn to see yourself. Number two, you've got to what else? Speak life. Even when you don't feel like it, just say what God says. Speak life. And a husband will do well to speak to the queen and his wife, and a wife to the king and her husband. Because whatever and whomever you speak to, that's what you get. Number three. Say what? Surround yourself with positivity. Philippians 4, 8, whatever things are, you know the rest of it. Number four. Struggle. Now, don't shun evil people. Don't be afraid of them, and don't be jealous of them. You need some haters. Don't bypass the process. Others have made it quickly, as Dr. Mike will tell you, some have gone fast. But if you stay on course, you'll get there. Some people are late bloomers, but it doesn't matter whether you bloom early or bloom late once you bloom. Come on, somebody. Finally, soar. Somebody says soar. Soar like an eagle. this mean, sir, madam, lady? That you've got to put in the time and put in the effort. Just happen. So you're going to have to study when everybody else is playing. You're going to have to give up certain things because you have a goal. You're going to have to learn to say no. Now, a lot of us in this room have difficulty saying no. You got to learn to say no and not feel guilty. Now, you don't go about saying no like that's all you know. I learned this poem when I was going to primary school, and that's just a few years ago, like maybe 5 years ago. Heights, can somebody help me? Heights of great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward through the night. Put in the time now. And you'll be glad you did. Because not who fast run. It ain't those who reach there first. Just set your course. Keep your eye on the price. And keep going. Now, as we bring this home, just in case you missed the reason for the storms in your life, as I talked about the process earlier, I want you to check out the eagle. It is amazing the lessons we can learn from the creatures. While most creatures look for shelter from the storm, we are told that the eagle waits for the storm and literally flies into the storm. Come on, stay with me now. So that which would hinder others literally helps the eagle. That which would prevent most actually propels the eagle. Stay with me now. That which would stop others actually strengthens the eagle. So what the eagle does when the storm is coming, the eagle waits for the right moment and flies into the storm. And as the eagle flies, come on now, stay with me. As the eagle flies towards the storm, that strong wind from the storm lifts the eagle way above the storm. So while you and I are down here catching hell, the eagle has braved the storm. And I tell people all the time, you will not change what you won't confront, and you will not conquer what you won't admit. Some of us have been running from life, running from ourselves, running from situation. God is saying, I want you to be like the eagle. Face your storm. It's not meant to kill you. It's meant to propel you. That's why David could have said, I am glad that I was afflicted, because had I not been afflicted. And I think one of the problems with us as Western Christian, quote unquote, is that life is too pleasant and prosperous and beautiful. We have not been through anything. We've not learned how and what it means to stand up for something and believe in something. Most of us are afraid to speak, afraid to move. But I don't care how the storm rages. God wants you to soar like an eagle. Face your storm. Because the bottom line is, you never face life nor your storm by yourself. He says, I am with you always. So that's why you need your enemies. Because they look at you. Some of you don't even know what you ate. Your enemy cooked you up a good cake, which is your weak point, sweetness. You have a weakness for sweetness. And you ate it. And then they came back the next day just to see, did she show up for work? Is she well? And then they realized that you're not only well, you're kicking like, wow, that is because, unknown to you, the hand of God took the poison out of the food, made it nourishment, and there you are, where you should be dead, you're very much alive. God looks out for those who trust him. Well, at least I keep you too long. Learn how to wait like the eagle. Isaiah 40 and 31, I think it is, says, but they that wait. See, the eagle doesn't go too quickly. It waits for the right moment. If you fly too soon into the storm, you got a problem. If you fly too late, tell somebody you got to learn when to fly. You can't go because somebody told you to go. You can't even go because you feel it's time to go. You got to know it's time. Tell somebody it's my time. I want to prophesy because the Bible gives me authority as the Bible gives every child of God authority to decree a thing. I want to decree here this morning that everybody in this room is not only made for greatness, but will do something great. Your life is not going to be an ordinary life from here on in. You're going to be an ordinary person infused with extraordinary power that makes you do extraordinary thing. And when you look back over your life and ask, how did I do it? You'll tell somebody, I didn't do it. The grace of God has done it. Because you've learned to wait. Some of your mates that have run on and gone married because they were dying to get married. Now they're dying because they're married. You wait. Some of you that are dying to get out of school, now that you're out of school, you wish you had stayed in school. That's why I say to children, stay a child for as long as you can. Don't be in a hurry. Life ain't going nowhere. So let me finish it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the song picks up the chorus, teach me, Lord, to wait. I'm finished. So in summary, how do I get to and stay on the top? Number one, see yourself the way God sees you. Number two, learn how to speak life to your situation. Number three, surround yourself with positive vibes. Number four, struggle. Don't despise the struggle. Don't despise the journey. And finally, soar like the eagle. God has spoken as we share today. Let the church say, amen. Let's stand.